The gospel is God's plot twist. It was the mystery hidden in plain sight down through the ages that one day Jesus Christ would come, the true son of Abraham, and that through him, in him, all the families of earth would be blessed, Jews and Gentiles together as one new family in Christ by grace through faith.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and Pastor Miller, you said in the sermon that we just heard that the mystery of the gospel was hidden in plain sight. So in the Old Testament, do we have some clues?
Yeah, so the mystery here that Paul's talking about is the inclusion of the Gentiles, people from the nations, into the saving plan of God that has now been revealed in Jesus Christ. And Paul's point is that mystery has been in plain sight all along. God's heart has always beat for the nations. And so you just wind back to the Old Testament. When God calls Abraham to himself, he blesses him in order that he might be a blessing so that all the families of the earth might be blessed in him. And so the blessing wasn't just for Abraham himself and his family. It was in order to be a blessing to the ends of the earth, all the families of the earth. So God's heart has always beat for the nations. When God calls Israel to himself, he calls them a kingdom of priests. Priests are mediators. So Israel is a nation. Who are they to mediate with? Well, they're to mediate the life of God, the blessings of God, the covenant of God. They are to be a mediator to the other nations. The other nations are supposed to see Israel. How do we live under the rule of God? How do we honor him with our lives? How does life work when you're living in the love of God? And they're supposed to shine. They're to be a light to the nations, that all the nations are supposed to see Israel and be drawn and attracted and want to know the one true God. So they're a missionary people for the nations. And you see this in the Old Testament. God's drawing all kinds of people to himself. Naaman, the Syrian. You've got Rahab, the Canaanite. Ruth, the Moabite. You've got the Queen of Sheba, who makes pilgrimage to Solomon. You've got Jonah and his missionary calling to the Assyrians in the capital city of Nineveh. So God's heart has always beat for the nations, and yet we never really knew how it was going to work until Jesus came. And then the Holy Spirit comes down with all those languages, and then we start to realize that God is drawing all people everywhere from every nation, tribe, and tongue, reconciling them to himself in this family. That's the mystery that was hidden but now revealed in Jesus Christ, that all people are coming together. The nations are streaming to Jesus Christ. And Paul says, that's my calling. That's the message, the wonder of the gospel that I've been called to share. This is amazing.
Mystery revealed. Let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church.
Paul says, he describes himself as a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul's saying, look, I was especially chosen by Jesus and sent on mission to the Gentiles in particular. I've been especially entrusted with the good news that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promises in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's what I just told you about in chapter 2. And now I'm bringing it up again. Verse 4, when you read this, when you read chapter 2, what I just wrote, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. As a minister of the gospel of Christ sent to you Gentiles, Paul says, I have a unique insight into the mystery of the Gentile inclusion into the family of God that has now been brought to light in Christ Jesus. Previous generations had no idea. They never saw this. They didn't know it was coming. Oh, the Jews always had a glimmer of the heart of God for the Gentiles, even in the Abrahamic covenant. It ends with, in you, all the families of earth will be blessed. But the Jews always assumed that those blessings of God that would extend to the nations would come through Israel. The Jewish people would shine, and the nations would see, and they would come, and they would become Jewish in order to enter into the covenant blessings of God. But what was hidden, what is surprising, what was undisclosed, but has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit, is that the Gentiles would be included directly in God's covenant people by grace through faith in Christ. And that's it. This mystery, verse 6, is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now he says these Gentiles, he gives them three descriptive phrases here. Let's make sure we understand each one. The first thing he says is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow heirs. Heirs are inheritors, right? So the Gentiles are fellow heirs. They are fellow inheritors in the inheritance of Israel. The Gentiles inherit all that Israel inherits. Secondly, they are members of the same body. They have become incorporated as members of the body of Christ. They are one in Christ, Jews and Gentiles together. And the Gentiles are partakers of the promise. They are equal partners in the promises of God. Now, how is that possible? How is that possible? He says, in Christ Jesus through the gospel. In Christ Jesus through the gospel. So how do you put this all together? Well, friends, you see, there's only one faithful Israelite. Of all the Jewish people in all of history, there's only one without sin. There's only one who's been faithful to all the covenants, all the promises. There's only one true inheritor of the blessings of God. There's only one who is worthy, and his name is Jesus Christ. And in Jesus, all of God's promises are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. So that all who are united to Christ by grace through faith, Jews and Gentiles alike, are those who share in the inheritance of Jesus. Do you see that? To be connected to Messiah Jesus, the faithful Israelite, the inheritor of all the promises of God, is to be included in all the inheritance that God ever promised his people. Paul puts it this way in Galatians 3, verse 14. In Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham comes to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Or Romans 15, verses 8 and 9. For Christ became a servant to the circumcised, the Jews, in order to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. In other words, the Jews still inherit in Messiah all that God ever promised the Jewish people. And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy at being included in the promises that were made to the Jewish people. Or as Paul writes in Colossians 1, verses 25 down to 27, a very similar passage, but was written at almost the same time as Ephesians. He writes this, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so, friends, do you see, the gospel is God's plot twist. The gospel is God's plot twist. It was the mystery hidden in plain sight down through the ages that one day Jesus Christ would come, the true son of Abraham, and that through him, in him, all the families of earth would be blessed, Jews and Gentiles together as one new family in Christ by grace through faith. What an amazing plot twist. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody. It's brilliant. It's astounding. It's marvelous. It's epic, right? What God has done. This is the Spirit's mysterious revelation given to Paul. Now, let's look at Christ's unsearchable riches. Christ's unsearchable riches. Verse 7. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Paul says, look, Jesus met me on the Damascus Road. He radically changed my life. And in that moment, he made me a minister of the gospel. He gave me his grace and his power that would work in and through my life. Me of all people. Can you believe it? Though I'm the very least of all the saints. In 1 Timothy 1:15, he calls himself the chief of all sinners. Why does Paul self-deprecate like this? Why does he say these things? I think for two reasons. One, it's because he never got over God's grace in his life. He never got over the fact that God would take somebody with his past and give him this grace of being used to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. He'd been a terrorist hunting down God's people, spitting in the face of Jesus, and now he's been entrusted with the gospel to the ends of the earth. Are you kidding me? I don't think he ever got over that. The second reason I think he brings it up is to remind us that God can use anybody to bring his gospel of grace to the ends of the earth. He can use you and me. If he can use Paul, he can use you. No matter what you've done, no matter who you've become, no matter what's been done to you, our God can use you by grace to make his glory known to the nations. There's always hope. Paul says, to me, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He goes, I can't believe it. I get to proclaim the infinite glories of what God has done in Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. This is what I get to do. I get to proclaim this with my life. In Christ, the Gentiles, you Gentiles, listen, you're chosen. You're called, you're beloved, you're redeemed, you're rescued, you're saved, you've been raised with Christ, you're seated with Christ, you're exalted with Christ, you've been sealed by the Spirit and filled with his power, and you've been empowered for life. You are heirs, you are a bride, you are God's inheritance. I get to share that good news with everybody, Jews and Gentiles, the nations, the peoples, everywhere, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery of God that was kept hidden for ages, the God who created everything. What God planned in secret before the dawn of time, what he kept hidden until just the right moment when Jesus Christ appeared and God brought all the loose ends of history together and tied them up in a bow in Jesus Christ. The greatest aha moment in all of human history. I get to preach that message. It's what the French call the denouement of a story or a film, the part of the story when all the loose ends are tied together, when the plot finally turns and makes sense and everything comes to resolution. And friends, God's gospel, the gospel is God's denouement. Do you see that? The gospel is God's denouement. All the mystery, all the questions, all the loose ends come together in perfect resolution as Jesus Christ takes center stage and the good news is proclaimed to the nations. Finally, it all makes sense. The seed of Adam, who would crush the serpent's head, the son of Abraham, in whom all the families of earth would be blessed, the prophet like Moses, who would show us the way to God, the king like David, who would rule with peace and justice and equity, the priest like Aaron, who would mediate on behalf of the people, the sacrificial lamb, who would take away the sins of the world, the hope of Israel, the light to the Gentiles. It was always Jesus all along.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Paul was on fire for his ministry, but Pastor Philip, what made him so passionate about his ministry?
Yeah, well, you know, I think he felt like he'd been entrusted with a treasure. You know, this mystery that God had revealed in Jesus Christ, how everything was coming to a head in Jesus. He's reconciling all things, this massive inbreaking of the new covenant and what it means for Jews and Gentiles together as a family of God. This is a powerful, dynamic ministry calling that he's been entrusted with. He alone has this beautiful calling that God has sent him to the ends of the earth to proclaim this. He took it seriously. Paul's a passionate guy, and he was passionate before he was converted in his service, you know, for the Jewish faith, and he was passionate in persecuting the church. And what's happened here is God's taken that passion and he's sanctified it, he's redeemed it, and he's aimed it in a much more productive way for his glory. And so Paul has been unleashed here with this wonderful assignment, this entrustment. And I think he just realized, what a privilege to proclaim this message, to champion Jesus, to lift high this. What an awesome calling. Mm. I get to do this. It's amazing.
Wow. Talking about Paul's calling, let me ask you, if you can share with our listeners, what's the story on your own call to ministry?
So, yeah, we got to wind back. So I came to Christ. I first gave my life to Christ when I was like 4. And then it wasn't until I was like 13 that the gospel really grabbed a hold of my life. Sure. I finally did some sinning that was of substance. And I really discovered grace for the first time. And it wasn't that long after that the Lord started just working this slow churn in my life. And I was starting to feel a burden. If God loved me enough to send his son to die for me, then I knew at some level, like, my life is not my own. Mm. I've been bought with a price. Whatever God asks of me, I got to say yes. But I was scared to say yes. And I realized there was this churning underneath of like God's intention for my life. I could feel it. But I was scared. I had this American dream. I wanted to go. I wanted to make money and have a big house and a fast car and a little white picket fence and a little family and like early retirement, you know, all the things. And I felt like if God calls me to ministry, I'll never get those things. I'll never have this dream, this life that I want. And so it really was a war in my soul over, who am I going to serve with my life? Is this life going to be about Philip, or is this life going to be about the Lord Jesus Christ? And I lived with that battle up until my senior year in high school, and I still remember it, Pastor Larry. It was a January morning, and I just was weeping into my pillow at night because I knew the Lord was calling me into ministry. I thought it was a call to misery. And it was a war of, who am I going to serve? Am I going to serve Jesus with my life, or am I going to make this life about me? And at the end of the day, when God's calling, it's just a matter of when am I going to yield, not if. He's going to get his man, right? And so I still remember it. I finally yielded, and I with tear stains on my pillow, and I just reluctantly, but I finally did tip, and I said, okay, fine, Lord, I'll serve you. And so I was very reluctant. Then I went off to Cedarville University, where I met my wife. I got involved in some preaching opportunities through a ministry team that I was a part of. And to my horror, I liked it. And I thought, oh no, oh no. You know, because the one thing I had told God was, I'll serve you, but just don't make me be a senior pastor. Please, not that. I'll do anything else. But then when I preached and I felt like I'm meant to do this, I was like, oh no, this is where this is going. Anyway, so I kind of got backed into it. But that's my story of my calling. That's how the Lord got a hold of my life.
Well, and thank God that he did. He brings his anointing on you. It makes preaching easy for you. At least it looks that way. But I think a lot of our listeners can relate to what you said. Boy, if I'm called into ministry, that's the end of fun. That's it's just going to be all suffering. But to those who are listening now, and they're asking themselves in earnest, is God calling me into full-time ministry? What would you have to say for them?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think when the Lord calls us, first of all, I never heard an auditory voice or anything. It was just a burden. It was just a burden that wouldn't go away. And I think the question is, could I be content doing anything else? Because if the answer is no, if the answer is yes, then go do that, you know? But if the answer is no, like I really feel like the Lord wants this for me, and I have to say yes to it. I think that's important. It's important to pay attention to. And then I think it's good to test that. And that you test that with other people. So you step out, you say, I think the Lord's calling me into ministry. Do you see that in me? Do you see those gifts? Do you see that purpose in my life? So you're looking for validation from other wise believers. I think that's good. I think you then try it on a little bit. And you see if the Lord's affirmation, his blessing is there. I think those are all ways that you sort of validate that sense of calling. And then if it's getting validated, then you just take one step at a time and the Lord will lead. You know, everyone's calling looks a little different. The reality we also have to remember is that we're all called, whether it's a full-time ministry or whether we're going to be more vocational in our lives and our callings. We're going to work a career job, but we're all called to ministry. We're all called to be ambassadors for Jesus. We're called to make disciples. So the calling in that sense is for every believer.
Yes.
And so we all are called to ministry. Some are called to particular kinds of ministry, and that's what we're talking about.
Right.
But we need to recognize we're all called to this wonderful gospel message. We all have people in our lives where we live, work, learn, and play who are far from Jesus, but are near to us. And Jesus has given his great commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, teach them to obey everything that I commanded. I will be with you. So that assignment is for every one of us. And so we've got to take that seriously, that calling to ministry. And then some of us will be pastors and missionaries and full-time Christian workers. That's not for everybody, but everybody is called to be a part of the gospel ministry. To receive the gospel is to be called to the gospel. And that's true for everybody who follows Jesus.
That's so practical, man. I hope our listeners got that. So do I feel content in that, seeking affirmation? Take that step of faith, put fear aside, and just take a step of faith and say, I'm going to try this. I'm going to serve in this arena. I think everybody can relate to that. This has been a wonderful time. I'm excited to hear more about the cosmic story, as you put it, and how it all comes together. But more importantly, what's our part in all of that? We talk often about prayer and Bible reading, but if you feel like you're doing the essentials but still lack vitality or direction, you might be missing the full picture of discipleship. That's why we're featuring Dr. George Sweeting's excellent book, How to Begin the Christian Life. This resource covers the basics, but in a heart-searching, transforming way. Dr. Sweeting dedicates entire sections to these vital pieces, the Holy Spirit, the church, and even your money. The book guides you towards a holistic faith where it all comes together in our love for Christ and provides reliable, biblical guidance for those next steps in your spiritual journey. Now, this is the last week we're offering How to Begin the Christian Life for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.